Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Today's podcast is a keynote from Jeremy Pruitt, the head football coach at Tennessee. In this podcast, he's going to talk about his background and what got him to this point and the lessons he's learned along the way, and then he's going to go into a section on his 3x1 coverage. I think that's something you'll really enjoy. We will have an article that features all of this, as well as shows some of the video clips on blogs.usafootball.com, so be sure to check that out for this corresponding video and diagrams. As we get into that section, I will provide a description of what Coach is showing on the board. And for the most part, I think you should be able to understand exactly what he's talking about as long as you know the formation and what the offense is doing. And he'll coach you through all the other parts. So enjoy this one and be sure to check out our national conference, which is coming up in February 21st through the 23rd in Louisville. Our speakers are listed on our website and check that out under the events tab.
Welcome back, everybody. How you guys doing? All right. Hopefully you got a good breakfast in you. You had some fun at those morning sessions. Of course, we've got a great lineup of coaches to speak to you today. And if I were a lawyer, I'm not. But if I had to defend the saying of defense wins championships, I think we've got Exhibit A and Exhibit B for you here today in Mike Tomlin. And, of course, Tennessee head football coach Jeremy Pruitt. Little background, if you haven't looked at the Tennessee website, he's won 5 national championships, widely regarded as one of the top defensive minds in all of football. 44 NFL draft picks he has groomed. 13 of those went in the first round. And, you know, it's the story that you like to hear. Started as a coach in high school and has reached the pinnacle of the profession as the head of the University of Tennessee. So without any further ado, let's introduce Vols head coach Jeremy Pruitt.
I think I would argue there, I don't know about defense winning championships, but I can tell you this, football players win championships, and I've been very fortunate to coach some really good ones. You know, when I had an opportunity to come down here and do this, I wasn't going to turn it down. Football's been so good to me over the years. You know, my dad is a high school football coach. I nearly put him on the plane this morning to bring him with us, but he chose to see the grandbabies instead. But he still coaches high school football. My roots are in high school football. If you look at the 11 guys who are full-time coaches on our staff, 8 of them started off as high school football coaches. I think that's very unique in our profession. We know where we all started. We know why we got into the business. If you're sitting in this room today, you're sitting here probably because you want to have a positive impact on young people. And the game of football gives you an opportunity to do that. You know, 15 years ago, I was a K through third grade elementary PE teacher. And today I'm the head football coach at the University of Tennessee. You know, that's hard to do, and a lot of people say, how the heck did that happen? Well, I can tell you this, it's not because I'm the smartest guy in the room, I can assure you that. Been very fortunate, very blessed, and had folks that gave me opportunities, and I had a chance to work with good people, and when you have success, you have a chance to move up the ladder. Just a little bit about my story. I played for my dad in high school. When I got out of high school, I signed with Middle Tennessee. At that time, Middle Tennessee was a 1AA football program. I started there for 2 years. A head coach was named Boots Dunley. Had a fantastic experience. But I had always wanted to play in the SEC. Always had. And after 2 years there, the NCAA passed a rule that you could transfer from 1AA to Division I and not sit out. So I elected to do that. I actually walked on at the University of Alabama. I played for Gene Stallings for 2 years. When I got done, I stayed on as a student assistant. Then I worked for Bobby Johns at West Alabama as a graduate assistant. Then I went and worked for my dad. So my dad, probably because nobody else would hire me, that's probably the truth. But I went to work for my dad in 2001. So he's the head football coach. He's got three jobs. He's got a PE job at the high school, there's one at the middle school, and there's one in the elementary school. Well, of course, out of college, I wanted to go straight to the high school. I was going to be his defensive coordinator. But he had different plans for me. He sent me to the elementary school. And at the time, I was probably a little bit discouraged about it because that wasn't what I wanted to do. I didn't want to really be around 5 and 8 year olds all day, right? But it probably changed my outlook on our profession. Every day when you sit there at the bus stop or the lunchroom and you know, it's 20 degrees outside and these kids come in and maybe they got on shorts, they got on flip-flops. They're running to the lunchroom to eat breakfast because maybe they hadn't ate a meal since Saturday or Friday or something. So I think when it comes from, when you talk about compassion for people, had a huge impact on my life. I worked for him for 3 years, then I went and he retired in the state of Alabama and left at that time. And I went to work at Hoover High School for a guy named Rush Probst. You know, was really around some very good football coaches there. Todd Watson was the defensive coordinator there, and I went to work for him. We only worked 1 year together. He left, and I became the defensive coordinator for 2 years. After that, in 2007, Nick Saban gets the job at the University of Alabama. He had been with the Miami Dolphins. He wanted to hire a couple of high school coaches that could help him recruit the state of Alabama. So I don't know how my name got across his desk, but it did. I had an opportunity to interview with him. I probably had a few things going for me. I played at Alabama. My dad was a longtime high school coach in the state. I was coaching at one of the premier programs in the country. And I also had two defensive tackles that Nick wanted. So that got me in the door. And he hired me in January of 2007. And then I worked with him in a role, player development. And a lot of people ask, what's player development? What is that? You know, we have three player development guys on our staff right now. The way the college game is set up, because recruiting, there's really 4 months out of the year that the full-time coaches are not with the players. So somebody has to run the program while the full-time coaches are gone. You know, and I had an opportunity to do that. Well, as a high school coach, that's what you're used to doing, right? You're working in the weight room. You're doing academics. You're taking them home. You're picking them up. You're making sure they're eating the right stuff, making sure they're running around the right folks, acting the right way. There's a lot that goes into that. So I did that for 3 years. In 2010, he promoted me to be the defensive backs coach, which was a huge deal for me, obviously. But I was a defensive back coach there for 3 years. We won the national championship in 9, 11, and 12. In 2000, it's funny how things work, okay? It's actually crazy how things work. Kirby Smart was our defensive coordinator at the time. Kirby interviewed for two jobs, all right? I think it was two SEC jobs. Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher share the same agent. So Jimbo asked their agent, hey, if Kirby leaves, who's Nick going to promote to be the D coordinator? He tells him me. Kirby doesn't take a job. 2 days later, Mark Stoops leaves Florida State and goes to the University of Kentucky, and Jimbo calls and offers me the job at Florida State. It's funny how things work. Obviously, won a national championship there in 13. I left and went and worked for 2 years with Coach Rick at Georgia in this business. You know, I can remember in 2007 sitting in the offices at Alabama, and a guy by the name of Joe Pendry. Joe had coached 28 years in the NFL, and he had came back to work with Nick to be the to be the offensive line coach. Joe told me, he said, Jeremy, if you stay in this business long enough, you're going to get fired. He said, I've coached at 7 different spots in the NFL. We went to the playoffs at every spot, and we eventually got fired. He said, so if you're in this business long enough, one of these days you'll get fired. So at Georgia, we go 10-3, 10-3, and we get fired. So I was welcome to the real world there, but luckily the defensive coordinator job at Alabama comes open. I go back and work for Nick. When you have success, you get opportunities. So I like to think about it being growing up in the state of Alabama and playing at the University of Alabama. I knew when Nick Saban was hired as the head football coach at Alabama, he was hired for one reason, and that was to beat Tennessee, because at that time Tennessee had beaten Alabama 9 years in a row. So it's pretty simple. Philip Fulmer hired me at University of Tennessee for one reason, and that's to beat Alabama. So that's a pretty dadgum tall task right now. But I'm excited about the opportunity where we're at. We have a great staff. If you looked up our staff, you would see that you probably know a lot of them. The one thing about it, the brand name at the University of Tennessee, you can recruit all over the country, and that's what we'll do. So I'm sure there'll be somebody from our program that will be in your high school. You know, I think about 1982, my dad was the head football coach at Pisgah High School. My dad's, you know, he used to drag me around with him to the field house, and he's out there mowing the grass, so I'm milling around, and I see a group of guys gathering up on a baseball field. So I kind of, I'm 8 years old, I kind of wander myself up there and trying to figure out what's going on. Well, there's a guy by the name of Gary Porter. He's got a Ford pickup truck, and in the back of the truck, he's got helmets, he's got shoulder pads, and he's passing them out to all these little kids. Well, I got in line. I got me a helmet, the face mask stuck out to about right here. Got me some shoulder pads, and you know, I went and I put them in the locker there in the field house. My dad comes in, he said, "What the heck you got going on here?" But that's the first time that I started playing football was I was 8 years old. You know, so my brother didn't play. My dad didn't let him play till he was in the seventh grade. And I think across the country, everybody's wondering what's the right age for kids to start playing football. I don't think any of us have the answer, but I know this, it has an impact on a lot of folks. To me, one of the most important things that we have to do, and everybody sitting in this room can be involved in it, is number one, we have to promote our game. We have to promote our game. It's an opportunity for a lot of folks that don't have another way out. And you would be shocked how many times that I go into a home or go into a school and I talk to a prospect and they talk about their first experience as a football player. And lots of times, it wasn't very good. There's a kid I'm recruiting right now. He's only played 1 year of football in the last 5 years. He played when he was 9 years old. He played when he was nine, said he was never going to play again. He's back out now, and he's probably one of the best players in the country. So if you're a youth coach, you're a junior high coach, you're a high school coach, you want to be involved at the earliest age that you possibly can, and help them have a great experience, okay? Because one thing about football, it's a developmental game. You know, I have a three-year-old, all right? We can shoot hoops, we can throw the ball, we can hit a golf ball, we can hit a baseball. We don't line up and do tackling drills in the living room at three, okay? We don't backpedal at three. We don't put our hand in the dirt and learn how to strike blockers at three. There's lots of things about football, all right, that's developmental. You've got to learn over time. So it's easy to go shoot the basketball. Everybody likes to do that. It's easy to stand up there on the mound and pitch it, right, or get on the track and run. But some of the parts about football, there's so much developmental, it's hard to get guys excited about it. So getting them into the game, teaching them the proper way. I think safety right now across the country and our game, we've got to protect our game. Well, the best way to do it is to promote it and teach our guys how to do things the right way. You know, I'm sitting here, I probably in the last, I don't know, 60 days, I've probably watched at least 1,000 football players, okay? And lots of times you will see guys that have really good toughness, okay? If I'm evaluating a defensive back, okay, the guy's got great ball skills, he can run, you know, and he plays with really good toughness. But the one thing about it, there's no telling how many times I've written down on our eval sheets, this guy's gonna hurt himself, okay? And he's gonna have problems with concussions, because his head's down, his eyes are down, all the time in contact. He leads with his head. We go all the way back to when I was coaching at Hoover High School. I was the defensive coordinator for 2 years at Hoover. We coached our kids from the high school level all the way down to the Pop Warner level. Okay, we coached our coaches. The biggest thing in tackling, is you have to keep your head out of it, okay? And most of the time when I talk to our guys, I don't even mention their head. What I talk about is their eyes. You want to keep your eyes up, okay? That's the first thing. Keep your eyes up. Your eyes up, your chest up, okay? Eyes up, chest up, near leg. We always said club up, grab cloth, and step on their toes, okay? Try to keep the head completely out of it. And you would be shocked. We spent this last spring at the University of Tennessee going back and teaching fundamentals of how to tackle, just how to tackle the proper way, how to strike blockers the proper way. And I think it's important that we do that, you know, all the way across, and it needs to start at the lowest level. So if you're a high school coach, you need to get your junior high, your Pop Warner coaches involved. Bring them in there, do a clinic for them, so they understand exactly how everybody's teaching it from the top down. You know, in 2009, okay, we lost several coaches on the staff at Alabama. I'm a player development guy, right? So I'm sitting here thinking, man, just hoping I'm going to get a chance to coach on the field. Coach Saban calls me in his office. He tells me, says, listen, Jeremy, I'm going to put you on the road recruiting. I don't know if I'm going to hire you or not, or promote you to be a full-time coach, but I'm going to put you on the road, okay? I want you to go recruit Trent Richardson, Nico Johnson, DJ Fluker, and AJ McCarron. Well, these four guys lived in Andalusia, Pensacola, and two of them lived in Mobile. So if you're familiar with that part of the country, it's not very far. So I went down there, and the rules are you can only see them one time a week, right? So all I did was I would devote one day to each guy, and then I would basically just drive a loop all day, okay? So Trent Richardson, I would sit out there across the street from his house and just watch and just report back who's going to his house so everybody knew, right? So at nights, I would go over to Mobile, and I would sit across the street, and I would watch A.J. McCarron's house and see who's coming in. So Coach Saban's calling me and said, listen, there's a lot of talk that A.J. is going to go to another school. And I told him, I said, Coach, you know, nobody has been by this house. Nobody's recruiting him. Okay, I feel really good. I don't know what people's telling you, but nobody's coming to the house. Well, you know, he called me back on Tuesday, same deal. He said, I'm telling you, there's too much talk out there. Something's going on. You know, are you sure we're okay in this deal? I said, Coach, I promise you, we are fine. Okay, nobody's coming to the house. We're good. Well, on that Thursday night, Joe Pendry and Jim McElwain, Jim was the offensive coordinator at the time, they were going to come do a home visit. You know, the head coach only gets one visit, but for that week, they were going to do a home visit. So I go pick them up at the airport. I drive them to the house. They're quizzing me, right? They're like, I'm telling you, it seems like something's going on here. There's too much smoke. You know, there's got to be something going on. And Coach Saban is really uneasy about AJ. I said, listen, guys, I'm telling you, I've been watching this house all week. We're fine. Nothing's going on. So we pull up to the house. We get out of the car, walk up on the steps. I knock on the door. This little old lady opens the door. And I was kind of confused there for a second. I said, is this not AJ's house? She said, no, sir, AJ lives two streets over. So Joe Pendry looked at me and said, great job, Pruitt. You've done a really good job. But luckily, we signed AJ, and he ended up being the quarterback there for a couple of years. So, but I can tell you this, I didn't get promoted that year. It was the next year before I got promoted. So, but anytime I went to a clinic, I wanted to get something, okay? I wanted to find something that I could take back with me. I really didn't want to sit out in the stands and listen to somebody ramble and talk. One thing about us, we do not think we have all the answers, I can assure you. Everything that we've got, we've tried to steal from people over the years. I was talking at a clinic in College Station 4 years ago, and I was talking about dividers and how we practice, and one of the coaches in the out in the audience said, "Coach, have you ever thought doing it this way?" And I really hadn't, but I've been doing it that way ever since, okay? So we try to learn from everybody, and I brought today, I wanted to bring a couple of things that I think's that's good that we do and we've always done, but it's different ways to play 3-by-1 coverage. I wanted to give you something that you could take back with you. And usually when I go do a clinic, I give you exactly what we do, okay? I give you exactly. This isn't no generic version. This is exactly what we'll do. So the first thing, if you'll turn it on right here, Dom, for us, when we play quarters coverage, we call it cover 7. Don't ask me why, okay? It's just something that I took back from when I worked for Coach, okay? So our quarters is cover 7. So when we play 3-by-1, okay, it's understood we can play stump or stubby. The first one I'm going to talk to you about is stump coverage right here. So I like to start on the weak side, okay? If you look on the weak side, this is a way that you can take the X out of the game. So you can see it says Meg or Cone. Meg for us means man. Cone means that these two guys are going to double team this guy. Well, I'm going to tell you my rules, okay? My rules are, I don't even know why they put Meg up there, because if you're going to be on the backside and we're going to have an opportunity to double a guy, then why would we not do it? So my rule for the corner is, all right, you're going to line up slightly outside. If this guy outside releases you, you got him. If he inside releases you, then you two guys are going to double him right here, okay? So it's a way to take the X out of the game. Lots of folks getting 3-by-1. If you're playing middle of the field, they want to throw the ball back to the X. Well, this is one way that we take the X out of the game, okay? The next inside backer right there, don't matter what you call him, the inside backer, okay? He's got this guy man-to-man. He's got the back man-to-man. Okay, so that's the backside part of it. We play cone where we double the X and we play this guy man-to-man. Now, there's a couple of things that I'll get to later, and if I run out of time, you got to come to our camp, our clinic. Our clinic's going to be March 7th, 8th, and 9th, and it's going to be a good one, okay? All right, or bring your staff up there. We'll meet with you. We don't care. But the one thing that they do on the backside is sometimes this X will move his split in here and they'll get a close split right there. So we have a couple of things that we do for checks right there on the backside. All right, on the front side, all right, so if we're playing stump, this corner right here, his alignment's 1 and 8, okay? 1 and 8 means you're going to be 8 yards off, you're going to be 1 yard inside, all right, based off the divider, okay? All right, for the dividers for us, if the ball's in the middle of the field, the dividers are 1 yard from the top of the numbers. If the ball's on the hash to the field, okay, it splits the difference between the numbers and the hash. That's our dividers. So as long as the guy's on the divider, he's outside, then we're going to be 1 yard inside. Once he moves inside the divider, then we'll get head up to outside, okay, knowing what the issues are in this coverage, okay? So his rule is we tell him he plays inside 1/3. What does that mean? You have that guy man-to-man unless he's short. What does short mean? Okay, that means he don't run vertical. That means he stops, he goes under, all right? If he comes vertical, he's yours and you play him inside out. If he's short in any way, all right, then you zone the quarter, okay? This is the first way we would teach it, okay? All right, the star, okay? A lot of this is with 5 defensive backs, so just hear me out here. In the college game, and I think it's the same way in high school. Very rarely do you see people playing with 2 backs anymore or 2 tight ends. Most of the time, you usually have 3 open receivers. The teams that make it the toughest for us are the ones that take a tight end, an extra tight end, and he's either this guy, or this guy, okay? And we're having to do this stuff with, say, a true linebacker. So if we're playing with guys that put 3 wide receivers on the field, most of the time we're in nickel, so this is a defensive back. But we also teach our Sam backers to play this way, okay? So his alignment's going to be 6 and 1, all right? 6 yards off, 1 yard outside, okay? The wider this guy gets relative to the seam. For us, the seam, we define it for our kids, all right? If you take the hash, when everybody's going to run verticals, where they run? They run right up the hash or a couple of yards outside so they can get away from the safeties, right? So it's going to be relative to the seam. The wider number two gets, we might top the guy, okay? But he's going to be 6-1. Now, what's his rules, okay? He has the flats, okay? We all know what the flats is. He has the flats. All right, now, unless 1, 2, and 3, okay, we know them right here, right? 1, 2, and 3. He has the flats unless 1, 2, and 3 go vertical. All right, if all three of them go vertical, then he will carry number two outside. Well, he knows what 2 and 3 are doing, right? He has no idea what 1's doing. So lots of times we get routes to where this guy's vertical, but this guy's short. Well, this corner's got to communicate to him, okay? So for us, we make a smash call is what we call it. So he knows this guy, that's why it says smash rule. He knows this guy's short, so he knows he has no carry, okay? But that's his rule. All right, now the strong safety. All right, his alignment is 10-2 on an attached tight end. Okay, so if the tight end's in the core, then he's going to line up 10 yards deep, 2 yards outside the tight end. If it's three open, okay, and this tight end is flexed out, all right, now we're going to line up 10 yards deep and head up, okay, 10 yards deep and head up. Now, what we're going to do is we're just going to clear cleats. We're going to clear cleats, all right. If three's vertical, he's ours, okay. And what we tell him is if he's vertical over the posting linebacker, if he's vertical, he's yours. If he's not, okay, if he's not vertical, then we double the two inside, or we have two inside, okay? That's his rule. That's it, okay? Now, the next linebacker right here, okay, the money backer, the mic backer, whatever you want to call him, we call him money, okay? His rule is he's a poster. Okay, I just coached this yesterday with our inside linebackers. He's a poster. What does that mean? Okay, first of all, he's got to read run pass, right? Going to read run pass, okay? If it's pass, okay, then he's going to post this guy. That means he's going to post him at 5 to 7 yards. All right, so he's going to make him go over the top of him. If the guy tries to go underneath him, he's his, okay? All right, but he's got the first inside short out of 2 or 3. First inside short out of 2 and 3. Okay? All right. So this is our number one deal. This is stump. This is what we play. Okay? So what's the routes that we're not very good against? Okay? Here's the first route we're not very good against. Okay? 2's vertical. Right here on the dig. That eats up this guy, right? Number one on a what? Post. Quarters beater, right? Okay? We call it Houston route. All right, that's the first weakness of the defense. All right, the second weakness of the defense, all right, is 3 goes under. If 3 goes under, this backer's got to take him back. All right, this guy running a slant. We call it happy route, okay? All right, when Coach Spurrier was coaching, if he knew you were playing stump or stubby, you were fixing to get this route all the time, okay, because it's hard to defend. Okay, so this guy's got to bring him back, right? You're the flat defender. You got to bring him back. He's short. What's the safety doing? Doubling to who? 2. He's got to nail down. Probably can't deny the ball, right? Okay, so I mean, there's 2 routes that are tough to defend. The third route that's tough to defend is this one. All right, 1's vertical. 2 goes out. Okay, that stretches this guy out. And 3 goes out. Throw it in the void, right? Okay, that's the three routes that give you issues. All right, now, can you roll it there? All right, so this was this past spring or fall, I don't know, at Tennessee. So you can see the alignment.
Okay, in this first clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trips set being to the offense's right. It's a 4 open formation, meaning all 4 wide receivers are removed from the core of the formation. The number 3 receiver to the trips is aligned on the ball. The number 1 receiver to the trip side of the formation will run a go route, number 2 will run a go route, and number 3 will run a shallow cross. To the weak side of the formation, the number 1 receiver runs a go route, and the running back aligned to the field runs a check release route.
But I think this guy's too wide. Let's start with this corner right here. He's playing inside 1/3. Okay, he's good. to this point. He should flip his hips to this guy, okay, and he should stay on top of him. All right, let's go to this star right here, okay? Where's the star's that eyes at? He knows he's got the flats, right? He's got the flats, okay? Now, he's going to be wrong. Why is he wrong? He's got the what? He's got the flats. The only time he has to carry number two vertical is if what? One, two, and three. Well, he knows right now when three goes under, he has no carry. He's a flat player. This guy should be going to the safety right now. All right, now, the next deal. All right, you look right here. The safety, he's reading number three. Is three vertical? Nope, he went underneath the backer, so double to two. Okay, the linebacker, he's the poster. Now I'm gonna tell you, if I was that linebacker, I'd post this guy as fast as I could. Why? Because if I post him and this guy goes over the top of me, I'm a zone player. I don't have to carry the guy, okay? And I'm just thinking about me, I'm gonna be selfish here. I'm gonna try to get as little of work as I possibly can, okay? So, and then on the backside, here we are, we're playing cone. All right, what's the number one rule? If the guy outside releases me, put him in the bleachers. Why? Okay, well, you ought to be sitting there on your technique just like this. The guy can do all this he wants to. The guy goes outside, I'm going to kick, slide, jam him. Because if he goes inside, I'm getting a double from this safety, okay? So he should be out of bounds, which he's not. All right, now this safety, where'd the guy go? The guy went outside, he can zone back, eyes on quarterback, break on the ball. Now, go back right there, Don, all the way back to the start. All right, freeze it. Okay, I'm a big believer to be good on defense, okay? You learn what plays the offense runs, and you learn how to play the plays. Let's not make this harder than what it really is, right? Okay, so if you just looked right here, okay, I think you have to understand situational football, okay? Because to be a good defensive player, you have to understand what the offense is trying to do to you. What's the first thing that dictates the offensive play, okay? The scoreboard, right? The scoreboard. All right, what's the score, okay? All right, that has a bearing on what plays they're going to call. All right, the next thing, all right, what quarter is it in? How much time's left in the quarter, okay? What's the down and distance? All right, what's the offensive personnel in the game, okay? Because it matters, okay? All right, whether it's, for us, we go by colors, but whether it's regular personnel, 21 personnel, 12 personnel, 11, 10, whatever it is, okay? Hey, lots of times the different wide receivers in the game may change what you're going to get, okay? What running backs in the game could change what you're going to get. Maybe even a quarterback if folks are playing two quarterbacks. All right, then you go to wide receiver splits, wide receiver stances, who's on, who's off. All right, offensive line, splits, stance, tight end, okay? Is a tight end tight to the tackle or has he got a nice split there so he can get out right there, okay? And then the most important thing, it drives me absolutely crazy, is running back location, okay? So running back location tells you what? It tells you what kind of runs you can get. All this is before the ball's ever snapped, right? Okay, it's before the ball's ever snapped. You should know all this as a football player. If you wanna be the best player that you can possibly be, you know this before the ball's ever snapped, okay? Because the best teams have tendencies. So just play the tendencies there. So right now, I'm just looking at the location of this back. All right, go to the next one, Dom. So here we go.
In our second clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trip set being to the offense's left. It's another 4-open formation where number 3 is aligned on the ball. To the weak side of the formation, the weak side number 1 is aligned in a cut split inside the numbers while the running back is in a chow alignment, which stands for cheated out wide. This is important because it changes the way you're supposed to play the bracket on the weak side of the formation. The number 1 receiver to the trip side will run a 5-yard hitch. Number 2 is running a slot fade. Number 3 to that side is running a stick route, a 5-yard out route. To the weak side of the formation, the offense is running a spot rail concept. The number 1 wide receiver is running a 5-yard spot route while the running back is in a chow alignment and is running a what's referred to as a rail route. It's a vertical route down the sideline from the backfield.
Go. So this is the first game of the year, okay? And just to tell you, now we lost the game, right? Okay, against a good football team. But this guy right here is starting his first game of the year. He's starting as a DB, okay? He played high school quarterback. This guy played 1 year of high school football, thought he was a baseball player, okay? He's starting in the first game of the year. Now, on the back side, remember, okay? Remember I said when the X gets short, we have some calls that we can make over there? Well, these two guys right here, they didn't realize that we're playing in a pro stadium, right? You know, I took them out there before the game started, and I said, listen, these numbers that you see on the field, these are not our numbers. You see these little tick marks? These are our numbers, okay? Well, it's only play 18, so they probably hadn't took a breath yet. But this guy's got a short split. Why do they get short splits? We all know why, right? They want to run rub routes with a running back if they got an elite running back, okay? So we normally play cone over here, right? When they get a short split, we have a term that we call Connie, okay? C-O-N-N-I-E, Connie, okay? Well, what does that mean? Instead of playing press man, I'm going to play bail man. But as I bail, I'm going to see the back, okay? If the back flares and my guy's short inside, I'm going to take the back and the linebacker's going to take my guy. And the safety can stay high. Pretty simple, right? We've done this a whole bunch of times. Okay, well, here we go. Here's the play. Let it run. There we go. This should have been, okay, a, I don't know, 85-yard play. Let it go, Don. There we go. Just it was the only throw this quarterback missed all day, I guarantee you that. Go back. All right, so, but we should be playing Connie on the backside. I like to see it from the end zone, Don. Go all the way to the end zone. There we go. Now let's look. Here we go. So if I'm this linebacker right here, he's played a bunch of ball, okay? He's not played a bunch of ball for us, but he should have an idea. What run plays can they run here? Go back right here. One more, all the way back. Right here for the ball snap. Right there. Okay. So I don't know. Let's look at these offensive linemen right here. Pre-snap. Don't look like run to me. Looks like pass. Look the location of the back. All right. I don't know that they could hand the guy the ball off. He's so far away from the quarterback. So it's obviously a what? It's a pass. Come on now, it's a pass. Okay, if I'm the linebacker, I'm playing this guy, right? One of the first things I'm going to do if I'm coaching the Mike linebacker and the back's got a wide split, chow alignment, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to look and see where that X is at, okay? Because we all know people like to create rub routes over there. Okay, X is short. Okay, guys, let's play Connie right here. Let's use a little common sense. Okay, but we didn't. All right, go back to the wide. Let's look at the wide deal and coach it on the other side. That's good. We'll take this one. All right, here's a corner right here. It should be 1 and 8, right? 1 and 8. He's got inside 1/3. And just let it run. Is he vertical? Nope. Smash. Good match there, right? Star's got the flat. Got the flat. Let's everybody haul's tail. Here we go. Here's your route right here. We call this Dallas route. Two's where? Two's outside or one short. Either way, that makes what? That makes this flat defender do what? Have to widen, right? Then you take number 3 and option off the guy. It's a weakness of the call, okay? Weakness of the call. I'm sure Dana Hogerson knew we played this a lot, so he's trying to work it. He shouldn't have been thinking about that, but this for sure. But they nearly got us right there, okay? But this guy's got to push into him because he's got first inside out of 2 and 3. All right, next one.
In our third clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation, with the trip set being to the offense's left. It's a 4 open formation. Again, 4 wide receivers removed from the core. The number 3 receiver to the trip side is aligned on the ball. Number 1 to the trip side is running a 5-yard hitch. Number 2 to the trip side is running a slot fade. Number 3 to the trip side is running a stick route, a 5-yard out. And to the weak side of the formation, number 1 runs a go route while the running back runs a check release route.
All right, so I can tell you this same coverage that I'm showing you right here, they'll be playing it in Columbia, South Carolina. They'll be playing it in Gainesville, Florida. They'll be playing it in Tuscaloosa. They'll be playing it in Auburn. They'll be playing it in Athens, Georgia. We all play the same stuff, right? Okay, I'm just going to give it to y'all so y'all can play it wherever you're at. Okay, all right, so here we go. All right, now. We're playing it on the backside right here. We're good. All right. This guy's got way too big a split, right? So when I tell a guy to get outside for a cornerback, just so everybody understands, I talk about eyeballs, okay? talk about eyeballs. So if I'm going to move, I'm head up a guy right here. If I'm going to move outside the guy, I'm just saying the ball is over here, I'm going to move this far. Okay? I'm head up him. I'm going to move inside. The ball's over here. I'm going to move this far. Okay? Because I want body surface on a wide receiver. I want body surface where I make him release around. We do one of our things right here. You can look at this door right here. I like to look at this door. You're fine. It's one of the first things that we teach is trying to play press man. I can see this door. This door's shut, right? Okay, so we all here have common sense, right? How many times are we going to take off and run and try to run through this door? We're not going to do it, right? Same thing with a wide receiver. If you're a defensive back and you got body surface right here and you slide your feet and stay square, what's the wide receiver going to do? He's going to continue to try to do what? Run where? Run around you, right? He's not going to get vertical down the field. Will you open that door for me right there? Push it open. Oh, there you go. We'll all run through that door, right? Okay, so this is what, that's good. So for a defensive back, as soon as you do this, you just open the door. Okay, you're letting the guy run. Well, the same thing right here. This young man's trying to do what I told him to do. I obviously didn't coach him well enough. He's too wide. He's too wide, okay? The guy should have released inside. But one thing he did know, because I told him, I said, listen, if we play cone and you get beat outside, you might as well just keep running right on out to stands, okay? So he made sure he didn't have to run out to stands. He got out there wide enough, because if the guy goes inside, he gets a double. All right, looking at the route, one short. Good match, push into the guy. This is a good deal, okay? All right, go the next one, Don. I think we got this one. Let's get some.
In the fourth clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trip set being to the offense's left. It's a 4-open formation again. 4 receivers removed from the core of the formation with number 3 aligned on the ball. Number 1 to that side is running a 5-yard in route. Number 2 runs a 5-yard in route. And number 3 is running a corner route. To the weak side of the formation, number 1 is aligned in a cut split inside the numbers, while the running back is in a chow alignment, meaning he is cheated out wide. This is important because it changes the way you're supposed to play the bracket on the weak side of the formation, so they'll make a Connie call. To the weak side of the formation, number 1 runs a go route, while the running back is running a check release route.
All in the red area. Okay, we really like this call in the red area. Let's see what this one is right here. All right, these guys made a Connie call right here. All right, with the Connie call, go back. They felt like the X was a little bit short, okay? I'm okay with that, so he got off. Hey, his guy didn't go under and the back didn't free release. I'm fine with that. You got him, we're good. One more time right here. Okay, he's got all of one, right? One's what? Short. Now go back, freeze it right there. Whoop, right there, whoop. Right there. Okay, I'm good. One of the interesting things that we try to do is we try to figure out ways to pattern match, okay? We want to match patterns, okay? We want to create where there's no spaces for people to throw the football, okay? Or make them throw it in tight windows. Well, one of the most important things to me is if you look, who's on and who's off? Who's on and who's off? It gets 3-by-1, who's on and who's off? The guy that's on the ball a lot is the guy who runs vertical. So you kind of know the routes before they ever happen, right? What's there? We call this buffalo. Two guys in, we call this Y7, buffalo Y7. It's one of the big beaters down there, right? You kind of know the routes that you get in the red area, okay? So you learn to play the plays. Just look at the formation. It's telling you, let it go there, Don. They're going to match this pattern just right. First inside, boom, boom. This guy's going to run a corner route. This corner should be right there waiting on it. Safety's inside. There's nowhere to go with the ball. Now, I can't help the quarterbacks running around out there. We got to get some D linemen that can rush. All right, next one. All right, so this.
In the fifth clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trip set being to the offense's left. It's another 4-open formation where number 1 is aligned on the ball. The number 1 receiver to the trip side is running a 12-yard curl, 2 is running a shallow cross, and 3 to the trip side is running a dig route. To the weak side of the formation, number 1 is running a 12-yard curl, while the running back is running a check wide route.
One, okay, this is stump. This is really for this guy right here, okay? Got a poster, he's got inside. Now they're running drive route. Most time drive route's not with this guy that far. But again, who's on the ball? The guy on the ball is running a vertical route. You can look, this is the cone. They're counting this guy. The safety's lined up too wide. My rule is safeties never line up more than 2 yards outside the hash. That's my rule. This guy didn't listen to it, okay? But there you go. All right, let's go to the next one. We got stumped down. We know the beaters and all that. Let's go to the next. Stubby, here we go. All right, now, what's the difference in stubby and stump, okay? Well, stubby, this field corner, is playing man-to-man. He's playing man-to-man. I'm going to start on the strong side. He don't have any help, okay? All right, so when I was coaching at Florida State, when I was coaching at Alabama, okay, I really liked this coverage, okay? All right, because I knew who was out here, right? Okay, this is just common sense, right? If we're strong enough to win out here and play this way, then let's play that way, right? We create tight windows. Okay, but knowing that you're rushing four guys and they could put their best player out here and they got one-on-one, all they got to do is run one of these guys vertical, they eat you up and you're one-on-one out there, okay? Just common sense, right? Okay, sometimes we'll do it, sometimes we don't. If we have the players that can do that, then it makes us that much better. One thing about defensive football, okay, the corners put the limitations on the defense. If you got corners, okay, that can go out there and do this, you about do whatever you want, right? Okay? All right, so, but Stubby, he plays press and he's got him. I don't care if he goes under, out, wherever he goes, he's yours, you got him. It's like he's not even out there. All right, the difference, okay, for the star is this, okay? When we play Stubby, if the corner's gonna take all of one, okay, there is no smash rule, right? There is no smash rule. That's corner's guy. So it's like these two guys ain't even in the building. They're out. They're playing their own game out there. This man, he is truly earning his scholarship and his cost of attendance check, I can assure you. Okay? All right. Now, this star right here, okay, still same alignment, 6-1, okay? Notice his eyes are this. It says 3-2. This is what I tell him, okay? I have to put things in categories that I understand. All right, so I'm going to tell this young man, okay, you got all of number two. 1-2. You got all of number two. There's two buts in this deal, okay, or two unlesses. Unless 3 comes to the flat or 2 goes under. That's it. You got all of him. Okay, unless those two things happen. That's it. That's all there is to it. That's about as simple as we can get. Okay, nothing changes with the post and backer. Same deal as stump. Nothing changes here. The only two people that change is this right here. Still playing on the backside. Cone or Connie if he's got a short split. Okay, that's what we do. All right, I just told you why we would like one more than the other. Does that make sense? Okay, so I would think in high school ball, high school, the hashes are two yards wider. Is that correct? 2 yards wider than college. I really think in college ball, we always try to play our best corner into the boundary, into the boundary. There's very few times that the ball is thrown from this hash to the field. Very few one-on-one deals. Now, there's one thing about it. Every one of us can take it and punt it out there. If you're going to play press and it's just a jump ball, right, that's an easy deal. So lots of times we'll play off to the field. That's why I like stump, all right, because people don't throw the ball out there. Now, there's some teams you play that have quarterbacks that can make all the throws, okay? So you might as well, if you play that way, they'll eat you alive. So you got to make a decision on how you want to play that week. We're just a common sense approach, right? So let's run through a couple of stubbies right here, Dom. All right, so stubby.
In the sixth clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trip set being to the offense's right. It's another 4 open formation where number one is aligned on the ball. The running back is in a home alignment, meaning he is aligned behind the quarterback in the pistol formation. The offense is running a play pass where they are faking a handoff to the running back. Number one to the trip side runs a go route, number two runs a go route, and number three runs a go route to the weak side of the formation. Number one is running a 15-yard comeback route.
What's the weakness? All right, vertical, 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 okay? Go ahead, let it run. Boom, vertical. Look here, number three is by himself right here. If this guy gets over, he got to be able to carry that guy. Tough match, right? Always helps when you got great pass rushers. Next one. All right, this is going to be...
In the seventh clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation. Again, it's a 4 open. Number 2 is aligned on the ball. Number 1 to the trip side is running a go route. Number 2 to the trip side is running a dig route. Number 3 to the trip side is running a 5-yard out route. To the weak side of the formation, number 1 is running a post while the running back is running a check wide route.
Okay, let's look. Who's going to go vertical over here? I bet you the guy that's on the ball. I don't know. There you go. There's your vertical route. Good look right here. All of 2 unless 3 comes to the flat. 3 comes to the flat. There we go. Here's our double. Here we go. You can see out here this guy truly is earning his what? He's earning his scholarship out there. Okay. Next one. Okay. Look at this one.
In the 8th clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trip set being to the offense's right. The tight end is on the line of scrimmage as the number 3 in a 3-point stance. The number 1 wide receiver to the trip side is running a go route. Number 2 to the trip side is running a flat route. Number 3 to the trip side is running a 5-yard out route, and it's a stick concept overall. So to the weak side, number 1 runs a 3-step slant while the running back is running a swing route.
Okay, first thing is what? The safety's what? He's too wide. What's his alignment? He's 10 and 2 off an attached tight end. He's got the 10 right, but he's about 7 instead of 2. Okay, so he's got poor alignment for run support. All right, here's the deal. 2 goes out, it widens the angle right here. The linebacker has to do what? Push into the guy, right? So what I teach them is when you go post 3, who should your eyes be on? I tell them to look at 2. Okay, post 3, but your eyes are on 2. Okay, so if 2's out, you know, and 3's out, I got to do what? Push into 3. Okay, so that's stump and stubby right there. Here's going to be a buffalo right here. I can tell you right now.
In the 9th clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trip set being to the offense's right. The tight end is on the line of scrimmage as number 3 in a 3-point stance. Number 1 to the trip side runs a 5-yard in. 2 runs a 5-yard in. And the tight end at number 3 is running a corner route. To the weak side of the formation, the number 1 is running an inside release corner route while the running back is running an option route out of the backfield.
Freeze it, Don. What is it? I mean, I know what the route is because it says it right there. But buffalo for us means what? If y'all remember this, this guy's coming underneath, this guy's vertical. Look at his split. He's 2 yards inside the hash. Why is he getting there? He's getting there so he can get where? In the quarterback's vision right now. I mean, they can't help it. I mean, it just shows what you're getting. Hey, you got all of 2 unless he goes where? Goes under. He went under. Now you're a flat player. First inside out of 2 and 3. You got him. Boom. Here we go. This is what we play, okay? And we play split safety. This is 2 of the things we play. All right, let's skip on. Oh, one more. We do need to see this one, okay? All right, now, this is what...
In the 10th clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trip set being to the offense's right. Again, a 4 open formation. Number 2 is aligned on the ball. Before the snap, the quarterback will send the running back in motion towards the trip side, and he snaps the ball as the running back gets outside of number 3. This creates a 3-to-4 push between the 2 inside linebackers. The number 1 receiver to the trip side is running a 12-yard curl route. 2 will run a go route. The running back is motioning to the trip side and running a swing route. And previous aligned number 3 receiver stays in to protect. To the weak side of the formation, the number 1 receiver runs an inside release 10-yard dig.
What we call a 3-4 push. Let it go, Don. And then when I say pause right there. Okay. So far, everything I've showed you is with the back where? On the weak side. So what about if the back's on the strong side? Well, for the poster, all he does is he knows if his guy goes under and the back stays over here, he can just pass one back. So this is what we call boat motion, hump motion, whatever you want to call it. This guy's gone. This is what we call a 3-4 push. So this is all on the backers. We don't want this star coming off this guy because they're going to run down on top of the safety. So the backers just handle this. Now he becomes the poster. He's short. 2 didn't come to the flat, right? Okay. Excuse me, 3 didn't come to the flat. 3 blocked. Okay. You got all of 2 unless 2 does what? Unless 3 does what? Come the flat or 2 goes under. So I got all of 2. Now we got 2 doubled, right? We got this guy doubled, this guy doubled. Okay. Tight windows. Tight windows. Okay, next one. Okay, clip. So all the routes that are good to run versus stump and stubby. They're no good to run versus clip, okay? So you have to know who you're playing. One thing that we do, like we have like, I won't get through all these, but we have like six or seven different ways that we play 3x1. So what do? We try to play the odds, right? You know, play the odds. Let's look and see what routes they run, okay? And these are the 3x1 coverages we need to play. Don't mean we're always right, but we try to play the odds. All right, so we want to carry, but we teach all these concepts in spring, in summer, off season, fall camp. So if we get in a game and somebody's doing things that we hadn't seen them do before, we have the answers, okay? We can make an adjustment in the game. Hey, we're not going to play clip. We're not going to play stump. We're not going to play stubby. We're going to play palms or something like that, okay? So we can get through this stuff. All right, so what is clip, okay? I think everybody in the room knows what three deep zone is. Everybody in the room knows what three deep zone is. Well, clip for us is a form of three corner, okay? When you, in the old days, used to roll to the field and the field corner plays the flats, all right? It's a form of three corner, okay? Except remember, we're what? We're a man match team. We want to create the small windows where people can't complete the balls, make them make the tight throws. So there's very few times that we ever actually drop country zone and let the windows be there. We want a man match, okay? So clip for us, okay? I want to start on the weak side again, all right? Hey. No problem right here. We're playing cone. That's one reason I like clip. We can take away the X, okay? Take away the X. All right, right there he is. So we got him cone. We know the rules on the backside. We're playing cone or Connie, right? We got that down. All right, now, let's go to the field corner. The field corner, as it says on here, cut force, okay? He's got the flats. He's the flat defender, okay? Except he's going to play it from inside out. Unless the guy gets a short split. So he's going to play it from inside out, all right? So on runs, he's got to be involved, right? They run the bubble, he got to go play it. He got to get in a position where he can't get blocked by number one, okay? But he's a flat defender, all right? I'm going to go to the safety, okay? Because if he's going to play the flats, all right, we got to talk about the safety. The safety's rule is this. Anytime that we got to finish this right here. All right, so anytime we play a half with a safety, we tell them your rules are this. We want you to be no wider than 2 yards outside the hash. Okay, that's the divider. No wider than 2 yards outside the hash. Okay, when we play clip, because the corner has moved inside, number one, we tell the safety that he can get 4 yards outside the hash. But his rule is, you got to make sure and clip that you can handle number one. You got number one over the corner, but you don't have to be able to handle him to 16 yards. Okay, so he's a little wider on his divider there. Number two, you line up what we call apex alignment. You line up in between, okay, number three and number two, inside foot up, just like this. Ball's inside right here. What's your rules? You play cut on number two. What's cut? You got him up the field. What's up the field? Here's up the field. All right, and back toward the ball. Boom, right there. Up and back. So we're taking the routes from where? Inside out. What happens if he goes out? Go to one. He goes out, go to number one. Because if he goes out, you're probably getting a curl, getting a dig. Okay, right there. So the next thing, the money backer. Okay, you're playing cut on three. How do you play him? You got him up the field and back toward the ball. Take him inside out. What happens if my guy goes to the flat? Go to one. Okay, that's the rules in clip. So that's the way we play it right there. Let's run through a couple of them right here, Don, so they can see it. All right, right here, let's look at it.
In the 11th clip, the offense is aligned in a 3x1 formation to the trip set, being to the offense's right. The tight end is on the line of scrimmage as the number three in a three-point stance. Number one to the trip side runs a 12 to 15 yard dig. Number two to the trip side is running a 5 yard in. Number three, the tight end to the trip side is running a 10 yard dig route. To the weak side of the formation, number one is running a post route while the running back is running a swing route.
All right, so we're playing clip. They're playing cone up top. We know how to play this. So take them up and back. Up, back. Now, this route, notice number one's fixed to run a dig. So they're going to run drive. You can let it go. Drive, under, okay, freeze right there. If people run this route, all three guys going back, clip is not very good because we don't have nobody to take who? Number one. Two and three are both going back, and if one comes back, we can take him back if he goes back at 5 yards or 8 yards, but once he gets past that, the safety's too high and the corner's got the flats and we can't take him back. All right, let's look at it right here. Clip, flat.
In the 12th clip, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trip set being to the offense's right. Tight end is on the line of scrimmage as the number three in a 3-point stance. The number one to the trip side is running a middle read against the middle of the field open. He runs a seam route down the middle of the field. Number two to the trip side is running a 5-yard in, and number three to the trip side is running a 5-yard in. He's the tight end. The weak side of the formation, number one runs an 8-yard out route, and the running back stays in to protect.
Vertical, bring them back. Now, look up top, guys. All right, let's count them right here. Here's one, here's two, here's three, here's four, here's five. This corner, we put him inside. So both these guys are fixing to come back. You're fixing to see this guy come back at 5 yards. Because the corner's inside out, we tell him he can bring him back at five. So he's taking the final five back. Now, this guy catches the ball. This is one day before the playoff games, okay? All right, now, freeze it right there. Okay, so.
In the 13th clip here, the final one, the offense is aligned in a 3-by-1 formation with the trip set being to the offense's right. It's another 4-open formation where number one is aligned on the ball. The offense has a speedy receiver at number three, so the defense will check to posse, meaning they will now use the weak safety to play the vertical route of number three. This will put the weak side corner on an island in man-to-man coverage.
This is a linebacker, is that correct? Yes. I have been showing you this versus wide receiver, versus tight ends. What if they flex this guy out and they put the tight end right here and put a wide receiver right here? Are we going to ask this linebacker to run with a wide receiver down the field? No, we are not. Okay, so if we do that and we're playing clip, our first check is this. We check to what we call posse, okay, which means we're poaching the safety. He's going to poach and take three if three's vertical. That means his corner, now he gets to earn his scholarship and cost of attendance check. So he gets to be by himself, okay? But that's the way we play it, all right? All right, so here's what I want to tell you, okay? Our staff, one thing about Tennessee, okay, we are working our way to get back to where it's supposed to be, okay? All right, we all know, most everybody in this room, remember when Tennessee was Tennessee. It ain't been Tennessee for 10 years, okay? That's why I'm there. All right, now, the only way we're gonna do that, all right, is doing a great job in recruiting, okay, coaching, player development. We have all the support we need and all that. I want you to know, okay, we wanna make the University of Tennessee the most accessible program, okay, for high school, junior high, Pop Warner coaches in the entire country. Okay, I got a text on my way here today from a coach out of California. I got the job last year. He asked me, he said, can I come watch y'all during the spring? Not during your clinic time, but just sit around. I said, yeah, come on. He comes. He just hit me back. He said, hey, can I do it 2 years in a row? I said, yeah. He goes, can I bring my whole staff? Yeah, come on. That's who we are, okay? That's who we are. I didn't get here today by knowing how to do all this stuff. I stole it from somebody. I stole it from somebody. Okay, all right, and I did it by going and sitting in as many rooms as I possibly could to learn, okay? If you're willing to come to Knoxville, we'll put you in a room, we'll put you in there with our coaches, and you'll get a chance to be around guys who've done it at the highest level, and done it for a long time, okay? Hey, when you're coaching your kids, keep a positive attitude. Remember, most important thing, guys, okay, it's about the kids. That's why we got in this business, right? It is about our players, okay? So promote the game, keep it safe, and I hope I see you in Knoxville this fall or spring. See you.
Coach Pruitt did a great job here for us at National Conference. We hope you come out and see all of our coaches. We have a great lineup here in February, February 21st through the 23rd in Louisville. Again, go to our website, usafootball.com, click on the events, and you'll find our list of speakers there as well as other information. As part of signing up for the conference and registering, you do get access to our systems, both the advanced tackling system as well as the contact system. Those are right now $99 value each. You get both of those systems as part of your registration. Follow us on Twitter at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems that I talked about at footballdevelopment.com. You're going to want those for sure. And follow me on Twitter at Coach K. Grabowski.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.